The Lord be with you.
With
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. The Jews murmured about Jesus because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." And they said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph? Do we not know his father and mother? Then how can he say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Stop murmuring among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him, and I will raise him on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They shall all be taught by God.' Everyone who listens to my Father and learns from me comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the desert, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." The Gospel of the Lord. People often ask me, "So what do you think is going to happen? Where are you going to be next year? What are you going to be doing?" And I say, "I don't know. The Lord doesn't tell me anything." And then I stop to think, "Now, wait a minute. That's not true." Whenever I read the scriptures, the Bible, God's telling me a lot of things. And it's not always things that I want to know or have to abide by. I thought of that today in reading that first reading from the first book of Kings, the story about Elijah. Elijah is running away from the bad queen Jezebel, who wants to kill him. Why? Because Elijah has killed 450 of her pagan prophets. So he's running away. And even Elijah says, "You know, Lord, just take my life. I'm tired of all this." So what does the Lord do? Elijah goes to sleep. And he wakes up and there's a hearth cake and a nice pitcher of water. He goes to sleep again. Again, there's another hearth cake and pitcher of water. That never happened to me. I don't wake up. And so, you know, I think of two sins that I often confess, envy and jealousy. I'm thinking, jealousy, I'll define this way. It's saying, "Why should that person have all the good fortune?" And envy, "What about me? Where's my good fortune?" So I think of Elijah. "You know, you did this for Elijah, Lord. What about me?" And so there I am grumbling and murmuring, just like the people in the gospel today, murmuring against Jesus, or as we've read in the last couple of weeks, the Israelites in the desert grumbling and murmuring against Moses and God. "Why'd you bring us into the desert? You know, we had all our flesh pots and our herbs and our vegetables, and here you bring us to this desert where there's nothing." And then they get the manna, and then they get the quail, so they get meat and bread, but they're still not happy. They're always grumbling, and I think, yeah, I do that too. I do that too. I'll bet some of you do it better, though, than I do, right? We can compare notes later, maybe. But, you know, that's our story. So when I think about who am I, what am I doing, I look at my story in the Bible. You know, that's me. And in particular, today's second reading from Paul is so good, especially in our time and day, with everything going haywire, with, you know, we talk about getting back to normal. We're not going to get back to normal. It's never going to be that way again. And some people are saying, "I learned some really good things during COVID that I want to hold on to and continue to do." And then is that going to be true of most people? Or are most people going to try and get back to the old routine, which you just can't get back to? Too many things have changed. Too many things are up for grab. And we still don't know what the future holds with the virus. So every day, you know, there's more news. And we look at the news and this group says that, this group does this and says that. And so we get into that, don't we? We get into that murmuring and grumbling. Or what Paul says, we get into bitterness. We get into revilement. We get into shouting. We get into malice. At least I do. I get into that. And again, I do that very well. But Paul's saying, no. No matter what the situation is. And remember who Paul is. Paul is this guy who persecuted the church, then underwent an amazing conversion, and he even bragged about the times he was persecuted and stoned and hit with a rod and kicked out of the towns and shipwrecked. He's bragging about that, these things that we would say, I don't want that to happen to me, but he's bragging about them because he says, the Lord's in control. I don't have to worry about anything. And this is the same Paul that says, death, where is your victory? Death, where's your sting? There is no power over Paul except the power of God. The power of fear of death, of evil, Paul doesn't have. And I think that's an indication why he's saying to us, you know, we can give into this bitterness and this malice, complaining, murmuring, grumbling, and saying, come on, Lord, do this and that. When God really has done the heavy lifting, he did provide the Hebrews in the desert with bread and quail. He didn't have to do that. He provides them with water when they need it. It still wasn't enough. And I think to myself, you know, I always want more. I'm not talking about material things per se, but I want things to go the way I want them to go. And so, yeah, I do murmur and grumble. I can be bitter. I can be enraged. I can revile others. And Paul's saying, that's not the way God wants you to act, because when you act that way, what are you doing? You're polluting the world. You're polluting other people. You are putting this evil into the world, and it is affecting every single other person. And that's what spiritual evil is all about. You know, I say, well, this is my little sin. And nobody knows it. Well, God knows about it. And whatever the sin is that I am committing, it does affect every other person. It pulls every other person down. On the other hand, then, this is the good news that Jesus preached. When we do the good, when we do what we're called to do, when we obey the commandments, what we're doing is cleaning up that spiritual pollution. We are kind of pulling it out, letting God suck it up, vacuum it, so that people can see more clearly. You know, it's just like when you have a day of pollution, you know, you can't see clearly. But when that pollution's gone, you can see clearly. It's the same with sin. And yes, we can spend our lives murmuring and grumbling and sinning and contributing to the problems in the world, or simply do what God says to do. Love God, love your neighbor as yourself. Go out and find the lost sheep. Go and feed people. Go and heal people. Develop relationships with other people, especially those who are lost, who are hurting, who are wounded, and need the healing power of God, which every one of us has been given. I've said this again and again. We all have charisms, gifts from the Lord, and these are real gifts. Perhaps you have the gift of healing, physical healing. That's a gift of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's still alive, giving us those gifts. Perhaps you have the gift of teaching, whatever it might be. We're supposed to be using those gifts and take them into the world so that we can make a change in the world, so that we can move other people away from that bitterness and that malice and that violence that's out there. And what does Paul say? Be kind. Be kind. Be forgiving. Be compassionate. And those can be very difficult when we get into our own heads and when we create a silo around us to protect us from the world and all that. But it's not me being forgiving and compassionate, really. I'm just taking from God what God is giving to me and giving it to other people. And, you know, I complain about Elijah getting that nice hearth cake and that water. But what does God give us? He gives us the bread of life. That's the best bread ever. That is the very flesh of Jesus Christ that he gives us. So really, when push comes to shove, I have nothing to complain about. And of course, then I can get into my Catholic guilt. You know, I say, Michael, good Lord, you have so much. You've been given so much. You know, look at the resources you have. But God doesn't want me to feel guilty. He wants to say, to be grateful for them and then share them abundantly, just as Paul did, just as Jesus did. Neither of those men, as far as I know, owned homes or had luggage or whatever it was that we take for granted, but what they had was deep faith in the Father. Jesus had faith in his Father. Paul had faith in Christ, so that they were willing to go out and do the work and not worry about themselves, not grumble, not murmur, but rather say, thanks, Lord. Thank you so much for what you've given me. And I want to be that kind, forgiving, compassionate person that I can be, and we can all be that. So again, as we look at the world today, what's the world need? It needs that light of Christ. It needs that love and compassion and kindness. It needs that forgiveness, because when we forgive someone, we take a burden off their shoulders, and we take a burden off our shoulders. And it doesn't matter what the other person does in reaction. We're doing something to lighten the load that Jesus constantly is lightening in our lives. So the story is all there in Scripture. I can't say I don't know what the Lord's thinking or doing or saying. It's all there in Scripture. It's my story. It's your story. And we're told in a particular way today through Paul that instead of the negative, the evil, the sin, we can bring great good into the world. We can bring the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, which is total, unconditional forgiveness. We can bring kindness, you know, just a smile, a hello to someone, very simple things to start with. And then we actually take time to get to know our brothers and sisters, find out what their story is, what their wounds are, and then attend to their healing. Pope Francis says the church should be seen as a field hospital. So we're all medics. We're all nurses and doctors. We're supposed to be going into the world and healing, healing with the salve of compassion and kindness and forgiveness. So we have power. Don't ever think that you are not a leader, that you don't have influence, that you don't have power, that you don't have authority. You do. You do. In fact, you have infinite power and authority because it is from God. It's not just the Pope. It's not those who have gone before us who we call saints. It's us. We're saints in the making. And so we're called to go forth and use those gifts God has given us to change as many people's lives as we can. Now, we're not going to change the whole world overnight and so forth and so on, but if every Christian in the world committed themselves to what Paul tells us to do, we would see radical change. But the radical change starts with me recognizing who I am, my faults, my weaknesses, but also who I am as a child of God, who God wants to give the kingdom of God to when I die. So we should be going forth with gratitude, with joy, with energy, and let other people see that energy and that joy so that they will come to us as we go to them to find that healing, that goodness, that bread of life, who is Jesus Christ, that we receive in the Mass, that he wants everyone to receive so that everyone can be healed and one day gather around the heavenly banquet with all the angels and saints. So that's the story that God has given us, but it's up to us every day to say, yes, Lord, that's what I want. And so I recommit myself today to that story that you have dreamed about me, and I will work at it so that I can truly be your beloved son or daughter.